Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Shout outs to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Yes, I would happen to be JR, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, being joined by our super producer and host, Dave Shepard, holding it down in New York City. A busy Thursday night here on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Because we've had a busy night in the world of sports. I get started at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. And so throughout the course of the night, Thursday night football concluded. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Tennessee Titans, the final score 20-16. The Steelers, despite being outgained in total yardage, they actually won another game. They improved their record to 5-3. The Tennessee Titans fall to 3-5, despite another, what I would say, solid showing by Will Levis. Not the four damn touchdowns he had against the Falcons, but a solid showing nonetheless. And the Steelers walk away with another victory, a come-from-behind victory, mind you, that just... the Steelers' offense just stinks. There's no other way to put it. Also, someone whose offense does not stink, it's Victor Wembanyama. Tonight, the San Antonio Spurs beat the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. The score, 132-121. Victor Wembanyama, only his fifth game as a pro, 38 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, a steal. He was 3 of 5 from downtown. He was 15 of 26 from the field overall. Victor Wembanyama on the basketball court with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker outplayed the both of them. Kevin Durant with 28 points, Devin Booker with 31. Watching Kevin Durant defend Victor Wembanyama is just ridiculous, because I don't recall Kevin Durant ever looking smaller than anyone, and Victor Wembanyama, it was just pretty wild to see. A matter of fact, let's listen to this. This was a damn good game. Victor Wembanyama making a three to at this point give himself 36 points. And he put the Spurs up against the Phoenix Suns, 126-116 at that point. Let's tune in.
Outside right now to Wembanyama, 10 to shoot. Wembanyama straight away, three over Eubanks. That's a Wembitois! 36 points for Victor Wembanyama. A 10-0 run for the Spurs. It's 126-116 with 2 minutes remaining in the game.
A Wembitois? Like, we gotta hit him with a little bit of French? It's a Spurs radio network. This is Victor Wembanyama in his 38th point, putting the Spurs up 128-116.
140 remaining in the game, and the Spurs lead by 10. Left wing Sochan, guarded by Bates Diop. High post, turnaround jumper, Wembanyama, it's good. He's got 38 points, and the Spurs lead 128-116. Since it was tied at 116, the Spurs on a 12-0 run, and Wemby's done most of the damage.
Let me tell you something. If Victor Wembanyama is playing basketball, I will be tuning in. If I can, I will be tuning in. He's a freak. He's one of a kind right now. Let's turn our attention to the Steelers, who now have had their sixth straight primetime win. They also make it real difficult to watch because they need to come from behind. They can't score. They're like 29th, 30th in scoring in the NFL. They are a headache to watch right now. Matt Canada even pulled from the coach's booth. They put him down on the field to try to get a little bit of a spark, and it took all the way to the end of the game for them to come back and win it. A matter of fact, it took two damn good plays at the end to help win this game for the Steelers. Let's think about the first one. The Steelers were down. They were losing 16-13. This is in the fourth quarter. About 4 minutes left, and Kenny Pickett was able to find Deontay Johnson. It took him plenty of tries, but this was the ultimate game-winning score. Take a listen.
Scoreboard asking the fans for quiet so the Steelers can operate this goal line offense efficiently. After the defensive hold is called on the Titans, first and goal at the 3. Pickett in the shotgun, gets the snap, looks right. Deontay Johnson wide open, touchdown Pittsburgh. The Steelers march it 92 yards to take the lead.
That's Deontay Johnson's first touchdown in what, a couple seasons?
Yes.
20 games. 20 games, are you kidding me? Way to go, Deontay. You saved the best for when the Steelers needed it most.
The last time the man caught a touchdown pass was at the hands of Ben Roethlisberger. So, yes, it's been quite a while for Deontay Johnson. Meanwhile, unfortunately, the Tennessee Titans did have a scare on the next possession in trying to take back the lead. Treylon Burks was trying to be on the receiving end of a pass from Will Levis on the sideline. Treylon came down, did not come down with the ball, appeared to hit his head, neck, and back, lie motionless on his side for about 10 to 15 minutes. They took him off of the field, put him onto a stretcher, onto a cart, onto an ambulance, and he did have feeling in his extremities. He gave a thumbs up on the way out, and it has been reported that he was able to reconnect back with the team and walked on his own power onto the team bus. And so hopefully there's no serious damage and a positive outlook by all indications. The Tennessee Titans did get the ball back for one final try. Pittsburgh Steelers not able to get the job done or to keep the ball away from them. And the game ended when Will Levis, who was able to march down the field 66 yards, to put them into a position to potentially score a touchdown, well, he threw the ball away into the end zone to the wrong guy.
Wide side to his left. Slot that way on 3rd and 5 at the 19 with 11 seconds to go. Here's the snap, 4-man rush. He looks, he fires for the end. Intercepted! And that is Quan Alexander, his first of the season, and this game is over.
How about that? Quan Alexander dropping deep in the middle of the field, and he launches himself upwards and stretches and catches that rock as it's coming in. What a great grab by Quan Alexander. You got to love that. That's the way to finish it. It's a drop the mic moment. Take that pigskin, take it home, put it on your mantle, because by golly, you deserve it, Quan. Great job.
Yeah, but both of the calls that you just heard there, courtesy of the Steelers Radio Network. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Pittsburgh Steelers next up on the docket for them. They got the Green Bay Packers. And next up for the Tennessee Titans, they're going to be taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's go to Lubbock, Texas and talk to Sam. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
What's going on, brother? First time caller. I love listening to the show, but wanted to, ask a couple questions regards to your final comments. Want to say about two segments ago when you finished saying, when Kenny Pickett walks out, you want to be, you want to be scared of that quarterback. There comes a point where, I'm in Texas, right? And right now I am struggling with the Dak Prescott, fill in for the Dallas Cowboys because he cannot. I mean, let me preface this with Dak as a man and a field general, love him. But when it comes to picking his spots or getting into the red zone or when they drop into zone coverage, you know, throwing to specific spots, that's not his forte. He's better when he's on the scramble, he's outside of the pocket, and he's creating. When you made the comment, what provoked my call was, you know, when Kenny Pickett walks out, yeah, you know, you're not scared of him, but, you know, it's the system behind it, right? So when I'm scheming against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not scheming against Kenny Pickett. You are correct there because I know Kenny Pickett's not going to beat me. But if I'm scheming against, like, the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to make Dak beat me because I know he can't beat me with his arm. But I'm not certain that Kenny Pickett can't beat me with his arm because Kenny Pickett has a better, in my knowledge, and, you know, hey, quote this all you want to, he can see coverages better than Dak Prescott can. I'd love to just have a conversation with you. Don't want to argue with you or anything, but I love the show, man. Love listening to you, brother.
Oh, thank you, Sam. Appreciate you for calling from Lubbock. All things considered, I'm not going to go into comparing Dak to Kenny Pickett. If you were going to ask me today which quarterback that I would want, I would go ahead and take Dak Prescott, even knowing that he has his flaws, and we still are waiting for him to take another step forward to just be consistent and drive the ball down the field. Now, my ultimate point, and I say this a lot, and I don't think it's rocket science, and you agreed with me. I put quarterbacks in three categories. The guys that you have to game plan against and that you're scared, you don't want to see them at all, you go, damn, they're the Jalen Hurts of the world. They are the Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrows. It looks to be that Trevor Lawrence is moving into that space. It looks like one day, I don't know, it's still very, very early, maybe C.J. Stroud will be in that place. There are dudes who you do not want to see with the football. If I got to play a Sesame Street game, right? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. All those names I just mentioned, I don't throw Kenny Pickett in there. I don't care how many game-winning drives that he has. They wouldn't need all these damn game-winning, edge-of-your-seat drives if they were actually driving towards victories. And no, it's not all of his fault. The offense and Matt Canada certainly has to share some brunt of the blame. I mean, to have Pickens and to have Deontay Johnson, and Deontay Johnson can't even get the ball into the end zone. It's not all on Kenny. But the fact is, Kenny by himself is not a difference maker. I don't think that he has the talent of the other guys that I just mentioned. I mean, from what we saw in Pittsburgh, where he threw the rock around and was able to just get 200, 300, 400 yards a game, am I expecting that in the NFL game to game, week to week? Hell no. But we're not seeing any of that. And I think if he had the talent to do so by himself, just to pick up yards on the ground, a long run, to be more consistent passing the rock around, then I think we'd see it. I just don't believe it's there. 855-212-4CBS. Big Travis is calling from Fairfax, Virginia. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, cousin? How you doing, young man?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I'm very happy tonight as a Spurs fan since 1977 to see these young men who – We had a Spurs party here in Virginia tonight. I'm a big Spurs fan, like I tell you, a long time. And we had a very good crowd, and we watching the Steelers game, whatever. But when things were going on, everybody said, "Oh, they're destroying them." I said, "Do you know this game is not over? If you look on Facebook or Instagram, the Spurs fan said the word was called wait. We had to see if they could take what Booker and KD were going to bring that game back, and they brought the game back. Am I correct?"
Oh, Travis, we talked about the game. What's your point? Go ahead.
My point is they brought the game back. They brought the game back, and it scared a lot of us Spurs fans And I said, no, let's see what Pop is going to let them can do. And Pop let them play. Wembanyama was fantastic, but everyone else in that team played as well. This team is being taught and learning how to be a good squad. Popovich said this at the beginning of the year. It's not about learning. It's about winning. This is a winning game tonight for the San Antonio Spurs, what Popovich has been saying. Wembanyama is going to be fantastic. It's obvious. It's fantastic what's going on. But in this game tonight, what they did was special to beat a team in Phoenix, a team that's, quote-unquote, could win the chip. And the fact that they did what they tried to do, they did tonight, was very, very special. Man, love your show. Good night.
Thank you, Travis, for calling from Fairfax. 855-212-4CBS. Ben is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Ben, you're live on the radio. Ben got abducted by aliens. John is calling from Birmingham. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
JR, how have you been?
Very well, man. What's up?
Not bad. I wish I was from Birmingham, but I'm calling from the T-Dot in Canada. And I had an original question about, finding the difference.
Hold on a second. How do we go from Birmingham to Toronto?
I just know our man Shepard's usually too busy to even worry about that. So we'll, I came from T Dot. It's all right. It's still good. Two good cities.
Wait now, just so I'm not losing my mind, John. You said you were calling from Birmingham, no?
No, my man. I said I was from Toronto, and I was asking about originally Matt Canada, but because I've been enjoying the show,
okay.
I actually had to change it into a comment, ending a question, if you guys don't mind.
No, of course
not. It's not too long.
Go ahead.
JR, I always wanted to say, because since I've started work, riding transit, and doing bus, you're always my man, and you make football seasons that much better. And it's not just to blow rainbows and sunshine, but I just, your honesty and keeping football simple, where everybody's allowed their opinion. And as a Steelers fan, I mean, as much as I have criticism this year, I just wanted to comment and then ask at the end that, I agree with you. Kenny Pickett isn't the man yet. But as going through 90 years of Steelers football and only being a fan of 20 years, that as you've seen football for many years with different quarterbacks, it's a room for growth. And the only thing I wanted to say as my comment is that as much as I have complaint about the offensive line, coordinator and everything else I could do as a fan, I just agree that, from when I fell in love with Cordell Stewart and Tommy Maddox and all those guys that came before Ben, just when I started loving it, that I always believed that, football is that art, that, you don't need one guy to win. Basketball, you can take a LeBron, you can take a Jordan, and you can win that whole series by himself. But football is still that love, that art, where me and you could stand in front of that same field and see two different pieces of that sport that we love. And it's like, your opinion of Kenny is right. You're not complaining. And so that's what I love about that sport. But my question for you, JR, is because you have such a smooth eye for it, do you ever see that, there's a difference between these guys coming down from hanging out in that hovering booth to now coming down? Because now it's, I don't know if it's just media or they're just pointing out guys from the defense coming down from the booth and coming down to the field for the first time on different teams, and now we see Matt Canada looking all nervous and doing that.
It's a show of, listen, we suck right now. We got to try something different.
Right.
I'm not gonna push it as far as to go, it's a desperate move and a desperate situation calls for desperate measures. They tried something different. And all things considered, sitting down and watching this game, of which I did part of it before I went on air, the rest of it obviously being on air and watching it in the background here in the studio, what difference did it make to see Matt Canada out on the field? I mean, did it juice up the players? I mean, was anybody excited?
No.
Was Deontay happy that he caught a touchdown? It ain't make too much of a difference. Look, they need some changes, okay? It's as simple as that. We can go ahead and look at the Ravens and the call for offensive changes. It's nice to see that Lamar Jackson is also healthy. I think that made a difference. But I'm not all that inspired by Kenny Pickett. I think they can certainly obviously use a change in offense. I mean, even in their victories, they're being outgained in total yardage. That's not a key for success or sustainable success, I should say. And let's be real here. I can sit around here and talk about the Steelers, and I'm only going to be here for another 40 minutes. I could talk about the Steelers every week. I can act like I'm KDK back in Pittsburgh. I can do this every day. But the fact is, and I think Steeler fans know this, they ain't winning nothing this year. They're not. Like, this is nothing but another developmental season for Kenny Pickett. He's
Correct.
Just in an evaluation stage. Is Kenny
Correct.
Pickett going to be our guy? And if he's not, then what do we do? Are we getting rid of our coordinator? Are we looking for a new QB? And I believe personally, ultimately, the answer will be yes. It's just a matter of time. We'll see if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. Thank you, John. John had nothing to say after. I don't know what happened. I still like him, though. He's good. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, I like John. I can tell you somebody who I don't like. And I have to play this audio because it is absolutely hilarious. It's James Harden. He sat down in an introductory press conference with the Clippers. And he was a comedian. And he wasn't even trying to be funny. He was dead serious about what type of player he is. You got to hear this for yourself. And I'm going to play it on the other side. Plus, I'm going to get to your calls. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I listen to your show almost every night, at least for a little bit at a time. You do such a good job, man. I said it then, I'm going to say it again. You deserve a raise. Whoever needs to hear that, get this audio up to them. Second time I'm calling, second time I'm saying.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Someone who knows about exits? James Harden. I can't keep up with this guy and his team. He doesn't want to be in Houston. He doesn't want to be in Brooklyn. He doesn't want to be... Where the hell he come from? He doesn't want to be in Philadelphia. Now he's in L.A. and he's going to be playing with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Russell Westbrook if they are healthy enough to go out there and play. And so now this is going to be up to Tyronn Lue to figure out how they play and who comes off the bench, if anybody, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And so James Harden had his introductory press conference. And we know about all of the nonsense about wanting to be traded and Daryl Morey is a liar and on and on. And so today, and by the way, yes, Doc Rivers got fired before James Harden put in his request to leave. And so, James Harden is one of the reasons Doc Rivers is currently calling games on ESPN. Now, James Harden spoke to the media today, and he wanted to send a clear message as to why things did not work out in Philadelphia. And just listen to his words. Listen.
When I'm in a leash, I'm not meant just shooting the basketball every time. I meant like I think the game, and I'm a creator on the court. You know what I mean? So if I got a voice to where I can, hey coach, I see this. You know what you think about this? Then it's like, all right, okay. Like somebody that trusts me, that believes in me, that understands me, that I'm just not a, you know, I'm not a system player. I am a system. You know what I mean? So, somebody that can have that dialogue with me and understand and move forward and figure out and make adjustments on the fly throughout the course of games. That's all I really care about. You know, I mean, it's not about me scoring a basketball, scoring 34 points. I've done it already. So that's what I meant by that.
James Harden said, I am not a system player. I'm the system. Well, what has he won? Like, I see a losing system. That's what I see. I mean, damn, if I... That pretty much sums up what he feels, how he feels about himself. Look, the man led the league in assists last year. You know what? Let's not just listen to me. This is a reminder. We've played this before. But this is Doc Rivers talking to Bill Simmons pretty much about why things did not work out with James Harden last year. Listen to this.
It was challenging. More because we were fighting two things, and not like visually fighting, is that James is so good at playing one way, and the way that I believe you have to play to win in some ways is different because it's a lot of giving up the ball, moving the ball, coming back to the ball. I would have loved to have had him younger when that was easier for him, because giving up the ball and getting back the ball is hard. Like, it's physical, yeah. It's exhausting. So it'd been interesting if I had him younger, where he could have done that more, you know, coming off of dribble handoffs, going down the hill. You know, he didn't finish as well as he finished, because he's older, and that happens.
You know, I've never heard someone be so, not Doc Rivers, I'm talking about James Harden, be so ignorant to their standing, where he's running around telling everybody, yeah, I'm a system. I'm not a system player. I am. What have you won? What have you won? I know people want to look at Doc Rivers and the ups and downs and his career, and some people will crap on it, especially you think about some of the playoff performances. But at least the man can say, I've won a title, a championship. What have you won? And credit to James Harden. He is someone who in his prime was out there busting ass every single night for the Houston Rockets. He showed up to work, even though he might have shown up at some other places before work. But the fact is, he played. There was no load management. He went out there and he balled the hell out. Okay? Is he running out of gas in the postseason? Yeah, now he is. Is he tired? Yeah. Is he inconsistent? Yeah. Is he the same player? Hell no. And so if James Harden is the system, I don't want it. Because ultimately, flat, it's just a losing system. In the Philadelphia 76ers, this is like addition by subtraction. Not having him in the locker room, not having him on the team, is certainly going to be a help. And am I supposed to feel confident that this is going to work out for the Clippers? There's a slim chance. Because I think there's a slim chance that these dudes even stay healthy. It would make my day if they were. I'd love to see the Suns, the Clippers, battling it out. But that would take a minor miracle for everybody to go out there and be healthy. Now, speaking of the team that actually, I don't know, lost James Harden, they're 3-1 right now, it's the Sixers. They beat Toronto 114-99, and someone who's a beneficiary is Tyrese Maxey. He was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Tonight, not the best of games, only 18 points. But he was asked by Greg Anthony about James Harden being traded on NBA TV, and this is what they had to say. This was a few hours ago.
Talk a little bit about what all the chaos that's been kind of going on with the James Harden situation. And I know you guys worked a lot. I know it was good for you in terms of maybe the skill development. But how was that, having to go through something like that? Because that had to be new for you, right? You'd never probably experienced something like that before.
You know what's funny? Sadly, it's not new.
Ooh.
You know, we went through it my second year. So, But it happens. You know, it's part of it. It's part of the game. It's part of it. And, you know, shout out to James before I say anything. He was really professional. He came in. He still helped guys. He was in shape. So when he practiced great. You know, so shout out to him. He kept it really cool, and there was no distraction from him. So it was actually really good. And then the team, I think Nick Nurse, Joel, Tobias, the guys that's been here, we did a good job of just keeping the main thing the main thing. So everybody was really focused on trying to get better. It's Coach Nurse's first year, so we're trying to learn schemes, learn how he thinks. And I think it was really good. So there wasn't much of a distraction at all, honestly.
Okay. He's like, I'm a veteran at this. I know I'm young in the NBA, but I've been through this already with Ben Simmons, and I've been through this with James Harden. And maybe the Sixers can just focus in on basketball.
Now that's,
leave all the nonsense. Yeah. I'm sorry, Shep.
That's the NBA brotherhood right there, JR. That's a player understanding how the hell we move on as humanly fast as possible, because we want to get rid of this James Harden era, and it's now time for me to step into his shoes and be that second guy. That's all that is. You and I both know, JR, it was a distraction. Of course it was.
Yeah, well, he's not going to say he's thrilled that he's gone.
Right. But we know what Tyrese Maxey is doing. He's playing the politically correct card. He's the guy that understands that he's now got to fill that shoes. We don't know what the future of Joel Embiid is going to be. Tyrese Maxey is auditioning for basically the next face of the Philadelphia 76ers. That's all that is. He's very well spoken at that.
I mean, they think about no face. He's thinking about a big contract and dropping 30-plus a game.
Well, that too.
Good luck to him. And look, I'd love nothing more than to see the Clippers have success. I'd love nothing more than to see their now quartet of future Hall of Famers and All-Stars, whatever the hell you want to call them, go out there and light it up. It can go one of two ways. And the most likely way is probably a disaster. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it went any other way. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Holler at me. I'm here before I roll out. 855-212-4CBS. You want to talk to me about the Steelers? Go for it. You want to talk about Will Levis? Do it. You want to talk about 7'4", 7'5", 19-year-old freak Victor Wembanyama? Knock yourself out. You want to talk to me about a loser? The system, James Harden. Do that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Out of all the talk show hosts that this station be putting on, you're the best, man. You're the best. When you're not on, they lose customers.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. Before I get your calls in, before we roll out, I told you tonight, Victor Wembanyama scoring 38 points, leading the San Antonio Spurs over the Phoenix Suns, 132-121. I do want you to listen to Victor Wembanyama just quiet and relaxed after his big game and a big win.
It's just the way it is. Of course, the NBA got the greatest athletes on earth, but so far it's working out pretty well.
You're matching some things that haven't been done since, as a rookie, since Shaq, David Robinson, Akeem. What does that feel? What's that like to be in that kind of company?
Just makes me want to go even higher to beat all these records.
5 games into your career, what's the biggest thing you've learned so far? Just getting adjusted to the league.
The biggest thing I've learned, I'd say, is maybe a 20-point lead is nothing,
Yeah, look, it's gonna be interesting to see what he does moving forward. A whole lot of fun. Before we went to break, we also shared with you comments made by James Harden, where he said he wasn't happy ultimately with how he was being utilized with the Sixers. Said he was not a system player, but he was the system. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid pretty much said, after the Sixers game tonight, he said, "We gave him the ball every single possession because he's really good. He's an amazing player. Obviously, being that great of a passer, I think we gave him the ball. We'd give him the ball every single possession to go out there and do his thing." And from there, he had to make decisions as far as getting guys open or looking out for himself. So Joel Embiid doesn't think that James Harden was held back as a member of the Sixers. I think the only person who thinks so is probably James Harden. Let's see what he does with three other guys to share the ball with now with the Clippers. 855-212-4CBS, a busy night. Steelers beating the Titans 20-16. We talked about Will Levis and Kenny Pickett. Thank you as well to head coach Dusty May of Florida Atlantic for joining us earlier in the show as well. 4-year student manager for Bobby Knight. So we've gone through a lot. Let's go ahead and talk to Tony from Massachusetts. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, J.I.? Yo, I don't know what's up with James Harden, man. That dude must be, playing in, the Twilight Zone because he don't know what he want to do, man. It's like a new addition remind me with Bobby Brown, man. He on a reunion tour. He was just with his old teammate, KD. That didn't work. Then now he's back with Russell. That is not going to work, man. This dude, I don't know what's going on with him, but a system, I don't even know what that means, man. That dude got issues. It's not going to work. That whole thing's going, he's going to blow that thing up, man. I swear, he's going to blow that up.
Yeah, I think that's all that is. Well, thank you, Tony, for calling from Massachusetts. I think from Steve Ballmer, this is kind of a last ditch. James Harden, not that it would be the best insurance policy, but he is an insurance policy against either Kawhi going down or Paul George. And what's the worst, I guess, if you're Steve Ballmer? You're already in so deep with everyone that you've already invested in. Brian is calling from Atlanta. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. How you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Sure. So tonight, I do have the man. His name is Jason Romero. He's right here. He is the man who dressed Kwan Alexander on his walk-in today. And I cannot tell you how much pride I saw from this man. You say what's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up, JR?
How are you? I wish I watched what Kwan Alexander wore into the game, but I didn't.
I know you didn't, but you know I don't call unless it's something like locally related. This man had to fly out of here at what, 6:55 yesterday?
It was like eight last night.
And then you got back in town at what time was it?
Like 8 this morning.
All because the cuff on the shoe was wrong.
Yeah.
So I have to Google what Kwan Alexander wore today.
It's bad, but this is also, we just want to ask you, what's your favorite outfit anyone has ever worn to a game? Because I'm sure Jason Romero can up it once.
My favorite outfit? I don't know. I gotta go through the memory banks here. Oh, man. Come on, Shep, help me out.
Something Deion Sanders related.
I gotta go back 30 years.
I mean, Iverson wore out like nobody else. They had to change the league policy because of him.
It's not even an active player.
Okay.
How about my favorite thing that anybody ever wore? Every time Joe Namath wore a fur coat, does that count, Brian?
That's a good one.
I mean, it might count. What about?
Yeah, we talking about fur coats. That's what Kwan Alexander had on the night, man. If you look on Instagram, they posted it. NFL posted it.
Okay. All right. Well, did he look like Joe Namath? Probably not, right?
Well, okay. He looked like somebody with a game-winning interception.
Well, that's true. Well, he didn't look like someone who got a Super Bowl like Joe Namath. Let's see. NFL.com. I'm looking at Bleacher Report. I don't see Kwan. The purple coat?
Oh, yeah. It was pink. It was pink with the blue.
I don't know my colors. Pink, purple, blue.
Wasn't Cam Newton all about that fashion at his peak?
He wore the hats. He still wears the hats.
Right.
Yeah.
Cam Newton. Who?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bitter Panther fan right there.
Yeah, I don't think I could pull this look off. Nah, but God bless him. Not me. Nice bag, too. So you styled him? You styled him for this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Flew to Pittsburgh last night sometime. Made it happen. And, look good, play good.
Hey, that's what they say, right?
Yeah, that's what they say, man. We saw it for that game when the interception tonight.
Amazing. Good stuff. Well, congratulations, man. All the best to you.
Jason Romero. Thank you, JR.
All right, thank you. Send me the information so I can check it out, Brian, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, dude. Have a good night. Appreciate you. Hey, Shep, me and you should walk into the studio one day wearing this stuff. You see what he wore?
Listen, man, you and I are two good-looking young men. I'm all for it.
Yeah, we look like Bert and Ernie walking around and stuff like this.
Oh, we got more pizzazz and charisma and flair than Bert and Ernie. Yeah. We may not have the institutional reputation those guys do right now, but.
Do they even still put them on? I don't think they're on Sesame Street anymore.
It's a good thing I wouldn't know.
Yeah, listen, they retired Bert and Ernie. I think they're gone. I haven't seen them in a while. Alan would know. Alan's here from Toronto. Alan, is Bert and Ernie, are they still on Sesame Street?
Yeah, there's a place, Bert and Ernie, there in Toronto. Yeah, they're still around. Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Oh, okay. I won't ask any questions. What's up, Alan? Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about James Harden, but I have a comment about Doc Rivers. I'm glad he announced his retirement because he's had quite enough. And 14 years as a player, 25 years as a coach, and he brings a wealth of knowledge as a commentator. I'm glad for him. And speaking of James Harden, he has to either put up or shut up. Put up and shut up, too, because if he's not happy now, he's never going to be happy. He got his wish, and that's what he wanted, and he got his wish. So he's happy. here's a statement that you
Hold on a second. Where did Doc, when and where did Doc Rivers say he was done
coaching? Yeah, Alan, we're looking it up as we speak. He never made that claim.
He never. He's a commentator now, though, isn't he?
Correct, but he never made the claim. But he's open to continuing on the bench when an opportunity arises.
He's not.
Okay.
He's not
glad to hear
ancient.
That. Okay. And
he's not ancient.
Here's a comment, a statement that or anybody else in the entire world cannot disagree with.
What?
James Harden is his own worst enemy. How can you disagree with that?
What?
James Harden. He is his own worst enemy.
I just said he called himself a system, and I said it's a losing system, yeah.
Yeah, he's his own worst enemy, isn't he, in the whole situation. Everywhere he wanted to go, he was pouting everywhere he was, and he was pouting everywhere, and he's his own worst enemy. How can you argue
with that? Listen, Alan, everybody can't be winners like us. Somebody got to be a loser, okay?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Austin is not, he's not playing anywhere, is he? Doc's son, Austin, he coached him in 2015.
I think he's either overseas or he's either, I don't want to say coaching, but he might also be doing media, I believe.
He actually is.
He's doing media, right?
Correct, yeah. He's not retired, but he's not an active on any roster, and ESPN signed him to like a one-year deal.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, why don't you go do media? Sounds like it already.
Sure, yeah. I would have done very good in it, sure, I'm sure.
Would have? It's not too late.
Nick Nurse handled the situation very well, didn't he? He just treated him like a friend and didn't make any negative comments.
No, I ain't talking about none of that no more. Why don't you start a sports show?
Mm-hmm. I'll have to find out where and when. That's all.
It's called the phone. Does your phone have a camera?
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. Easy. Well, Alan, I got to shut up and leave now because my show is over, all right?
Yeah, always great to be on the line with you, JR. Great show as always.
No, always good to be on the Allen Sport Brief. Have a good night, man.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right, no doubt about it. The Allen Sport Brief show is over now, folks, okay? I'll be back tomorrow. The JR Sport Brief show, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific. We're going to get you all set and ready for all the NFL games, college games, the good ones this upcoming weekend. Notice I said the good ones. And then the NBA is going to start this tournament tomorrow. Pool play. Yeah, this thing that they've been hyping up. We'll talk about it all. Hey, Shep, you have a good night. Thank you so much.
Thank you as always, Jared. My pleasure, man. It was fun.
No doubt. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. But don't leave here on CBS Sports Radio. This show might be done. JR Sport Brief show is over, but Amy Lawrence, she's coming up next. She'll be safe, be well, be smooth, be cool.
Hey everyone, you've probably heard us talking about Magnificent Jerk. It's a story about discovering family secrets buried in a low-budget 90s thriller starring Rob Lowe and Ice-T. Magnificent Jerk takes you on a journey through Chinatown gangs, drug robberies, Hollywood reinvention, and a family confronting its unspoken past. It's the true story about a fake story about a real life. Magnificent Jerk is an Apple original podcast produced by Pineapple Street Studios. All episodes are available now. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
This holiday season, ask for concert and comedy tickets. Create your wish list at LiveNation.com. Choose from thousands of the hottest shows, including Chelsea Handler, Doja Cat, Jonas Brothers, New Kids on the Block, Niall Horan, Tim McGraw, and more. Just sign in, add your favorite shows, and send a helpful hint to family and friends. It's never been easier to get what you want. An unforgettable night out with your favorite artists. Create your wish list today at LiveNation.com/wishlist.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.